Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Hi, I'm Harriet Thomas, and this is There's a Walk for That. A few years ago, I went looking for adventure. What I actually found was the end of years of back pain, a body that finally fit my clothes again, and something I never expected, a personal wellness sanctuary right outside my door. I'm not a doctor or a fitness expert, just someone who discovered a daily habit that revitalized my health, my emotions, and even my sense of purpose. From easing stress to shrinking your waistline, there really is a walk for that. Join me as I explore the power of walking with inspiring guests and offer tips to help you make walking a fun, transformative part of your day. And you'll get to enjoy our trail mix, 3 songs chosen by my guest that reflects their attitude to life and passion for walking. Today's show is for anyone who ever feels overwhelmed by the sheer weight of everyday commitments. My guest is friend and colleague Pauline Nixon. Pauline has 3 children. One of them, 18-year-old Theo, has severe learning difficulties that require round-the-clock care. Pauline shares how walking in nature brings mental freedom and wonder, treasured moments of escape from her high-pressured life as mum, carer, and self-employed music leader. We'll also hear how Pauline's love of walking has led her to find ways to make hiking accessible to Theo, allowing him to experience the sensory pleasures of walking in nature. As if this wasn't enough, Pauline organises hikes into the wild moors of Yorkshire that both her 87-year-old dad and her son Theo can participate in. Pauline creates walking as a place of adventure, joy, and togetherness that builds the self-esteem of all involved and provides lasting memories. So welcome, Pauline. It's so great to have you here. And, you know, I sometimes see your posts on Facebook and they are always about walking. And you have such a busy life with 24-hour care responsibilities. So it's not like you can just walk out of the door whenever you feel like it. So can you share with our listeners a little bit about who you are, what your life looks like, and why, despite all the pressure in your daily routine, you still make walking a priority?
It's difficult talking about yourself because you think, well, there isn't really much to say. But the basics are that I'm 57. I've got 3 children. I live on Hayling Island in Hampshire, which is an island. Married to John, work. So I work part-time for myself. And then, yeah, I have a child with a severe learning disability. So Theo's 18, he'll be 19 in August, and he has got a syndrome called Wolf-Hirschhorn syndrome, which is a chromosome deletion. So he needs the care really of a small child. He can walk, but he gets quite anxious. So if he doesn't want to do something, he just sits down. He's about the stature of a 10-year-old, which does make life easier in some ways because we can just pick him up if we have to. But yeah, he just needs everything doing for him, and he's got no sense of safety awareness. He's non-verbal. He's fed through a tube. It sounds it is a big thing, but I guess because it's our everyday, you don't realize actually to other people that is quite significant, having an 18-year-old who, you know, wears nappies, is fed through a tube, and all of his food is blended. And yeah, I guess we've got it down to a relatively fine art at the moment.
I'm sure for anyone listening, that sounds like a lot for you to be managing.
Well, it is a lot. It is a lot, really. And it impacts our life massively. And he's the youngest of 3. Yeah, it does.
Yet with the very limited free time that you're able to carve out of your schedule, you choose to take yourself to a windy hillside and tramp along a footpath. So I have to ask, why? Like, why walk?
And what's strange is I already feel emotional. Already. I think it's freedom and you've got that chance to think through things. It's just freedom. Being in nature.
Being in nature. That's what I wanted to ask you that. So when you think about going for a walk, it's not necessarily, you know, okay, I'm going to walk down to the shops, you know, just to get my bit of exercise, you know, which is great. But it's the walking in nature.
Yeah, I class going for a walk as usually going off the island. I mean, it sounds like I live in the Caribbean. So I like going off where we live and, yeah, into the countryside. And you get a bit miffed if there's lots of people. I like a bit of solitude, yeah.
So solitude in nature equals freedom or gives you a sense of freedom.
Yeah. Definitely.
And what is freedom? What does that like feel like?
It's just mental freedom, I guess. Yeah. The thing is, you can just get lost in your surroundings and appreciate, you know, look at flowers and bees buzzing around and, you know, that kind of thing generally.
So it's that opportunity to escape, maybe too strong a word, but
no, it's, I was just thinking that you can just do what you like. You can walk for as long as you like, where you like, and you know, if you get lost, it doesn't really matter because you don't feel responsible for somebody else. And I think that's it. I'm always, for me, just I'm always responsible for somebody.
Having a beautiful walk up here in the South Downs with my friend Pauline.
Hello.
That's Pauline.
I think just being in nature is very healing, even though that might sound a bit corny, but it is, isn't it? We know recently that, you know, the emphasis on well-being and being outside is really great for everyone. I'm finding more that I want to be outside on my days off, not doing other domestic stuff. Sorry, I'm puffing a bit.
We're going uphill.
Whenever I see your posts on Facebook, I always think, how does she find the time to get out for a walk? Because I know you're so busy with Theo and then you have work.
Theo was up at 4 o'clock this morning. I did manage to get some more sleep, but I made a shepherd's pie at 7 o'clock, and that doesn't, I'm not saying I'm Wonder Woman, but it's so I can come out and do this. And I'm prepared to do that sort of cramming in so I can get out and have time on my own.
I suppose what I'm hearing is that what you find is the benefit, if I can put it like that, that you get from walking, the way that it sort of maybe refreshes you, gives you time just to be by yourself and think without other pressures, other external pressures. You can literally just be you. That's so precious, and is especially in your situation where, I mean, your responsibilities are so huge. Your well-being is not just your well-being. Your well-being is the cornerstone of your family.
It is, I suppose. I do feel guilty.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back to the show. This week on There's a Walk for That, I'm in conversation with mum of three and self-employed music leader Pauline Nixon. Pauline has shared how walking in nature is a vital escape from the pressures of being the primary carer for her son Theo, who has complex special needs. And what struck me when Pauline described being up with Theo at 4 a.m. and making a shepherd's pie by 7 a.m. just to fit in a walk, she ended by saying she felt guilty to have that time for herself. And that's so telling. A 2023 survey by Carers UK revealed that over 1 in 4 unpaid carers report poor mental health. So for any carers or parents listening, or those in caring professions like teaching or nursing, it's so important to remember the oxygen mask principle. Your health really matters. So if you can, reach out to friends, family, community groups for even a small window of respite each week. And you can use that time for a walk, a coffee with a friend, or simply sitting in a park. We'll explore this theme more in future episodes, including a chat with Sue Mott, CEO of Carers Stepping Out. But for now, let's rejoin Pauline and I as we walk through the South Downs and hear how Pauline includes Theo in her outdoor walking adventures.
But yeah, it's really not just for my well-being, but I have been trying to get out with Theo and we have adventures. And he doesn't make decisions to do that. It's me doing it, really. But we've got our own hashtag, which is "There's more to life than pavements," which we use on Twitter and Facebook, because I know I can take him for a walk around the streets, but actually it's not that interesting after a while. So it's really nice to get out into the countryside. And we've got a brilliant buggy, I think from a company called, well, the buggy's called Advanced Mobility. So it's a really good off-road one and actually pretty cheap. Well, at about £800 compared to some in the thousands. So yeah, it just enables us to go and do some nice walks, really, which is great for everyone. John says, oh, does Theo really get anything from it? Well, he's outside, he can hear us chatting, mm-hmm. and he doesn't cry. So I reckon he likes it. That's the way I have to go really. You know, one thing that I notice when we're out, even just in the town or anything, I know there are hundreds of disabled people, not just children. So where are they all?
Right.
Because it's so blooming difficult, I guess, to go out that people probably don't.
Yeah.
You know, and it is hard work. And I've got a car that's, you know, I can get big buggies in and all that sort of stuff. So maybe not everybody can do that. I came across a charity called Access the Dales, which is by a lovely lady. Oh, God, now I feel emotional. called Debbie North, to get people with disabilities out into the Yorkshire Dales. And they've got all this great sort of motorised equipment that people can now get out for lovely walks. And they've got various different stations, I suppose, in the Yorkshire Dales where people can go and hire the equipment. Well, for nothing, they can use the equipment. And it just means families can get out and do walks they would never have dreamed of doing, really. Mm. So Theo, even though we live on the South Coast, is now an ambassador for Access the Dales. I should be wearing my T-shirt, really. Not that anybody could see it. But yeah, so it is brilliant. Obviously, we're just talking about children, but there's many, many adults with disabilities of all different levels, just maybe not walking so good or completely reliant on a wheelchair or something, that I'm sure would...
can still get out into
nature. Really just, benefit from being outside.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I try and document our walks to say, this will be a really hard walk, or, you know, especially like I went the wrong way last time and it was an incredibly hard walk up a very inaccessible hill. But if I can just show people it's possible, I guess.
Yeah, and I just want to also just paint that picture that when Pauline says she went the wrong way and had to go up a difficult track, up a hill, she is pushing 6 stone of buggy plus her son. So it's really difficult.
I was a bit tired, actually.
She was a bit tired.
But it felt quite an achievement.
There you go.
And I know not everybody wants to do that. That's just... I obviously wouldn't have done that from choice, but I thought I'm not going back. So we had to go forward, really.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just think it's brill.
So fast forward a year or so, and I'm talking to Pauline on Zoom, and she's telling me about a walking holiday that she has organised up in the Yorkshire Dales. And it's going to be Pauline, Theo, Pauline's husband John, and Pauline's dad. Everyone is going to be walking outside together.
It's going to be your dad, who's 87,
yep.
Yourself and your husband John, and Theo, who will be in his all-terrain buggy.
Yeah.
That's an amazing group. And how do you think it impacts how you all are together, you know, to go on these walks together?
Well, it's a shared activity, isn't it? So anything like that is really nice. And I feel emotional. Oh, dear. I think my dad's always been very active. And he's now saying things like, oh, I don't know why my legs are getting tired and I don't know why I can't do this. I mean, I used to be able to do this. And I'm like, Dad, you're going to be 90 in 3 years. That might have something to do with it. But he feels really proud when he still does something with us. You know, he walks with a stick, but just for to help his balance. But he wants to be very much part of it and still active and doing stuff. He walks every day, just probably in the town mostly. But he's out every day doing stuff, but he just loves it. Oh, look at that, Pauline. Look, you know, he's looking round and just observing the scenery and gets a lot of joy from it, which is brilliant.
It's such a wonderful opportunity, as you say, for everyone to share in their own way this activity together. Everyone can do it. And I love what you've said about, you know, your dad saying, oh, look at that, Pauline. You know, you really are all in it together, enjoying the wonders of nature. Mm. And I think that's such a beautiful connection that brings us together.
Mm, it is. It's lovely. I mean, we've done a few walks with my dad, and as I said, they maybe are getting a little bit shorter, but that's understandable, really. I think this year I'm going to pack a little fold-up chair so I can put that under the buggy, because if he gets tired, I think with my dad, he wants to do it so much, but then forgets. It's a bit like, oh, I can walk there, and then, oh, I've got to walk back as well. That's sort of, you know, but... No, it is really nice.
But I actually think that's a really good point, because I really think it's important when you're walking to stop and to sit. Being able to sit down gives you a chance to rest, and it gives you a chance to actually sit in nature, which I think is another lovely thing, just to sit and really listen and look and watch. And so I think sitting in nature on a walk is a lovely activity. Yeah.
Pauline has been sharing how walking in nature gives her precious pockets of freedom from the constant responsibilities of being a carer. And let's be honest, who doesn't crave a little freedom now and then? That feeling of being able to step away from the pressures, clear your head and reconnect with yourself. Walking can offer that, even if it's just 10 minutes around the block or a stroll through your local park. Pauline also spoke so tenderly about walking with her 87-year-old dad. These days, she's even considering bringing along a little folding chair so that he can pause and rest when he needs to. But what struck me was how she's come to treasure those pauses, not as interruptions, but as invitations. Invitations to slow down, breathe, and really notice the world around her. And it got me thinking about how stopping, even for a moment, can become its own mindfulness practice. So in the next section, I'm out walking near my home, and instead of striding on, I'll be stopping and listening, letting the sounds and sensations of nature fill my senses. One of the things I really love to do when I'm walking is just to stop and close my eyes and just listen. And you soon discover, even in what you thought was a quiet place, layers of sound. I've got some yellow hammers in the background and some shooting from Goodwood Shooting Range. There's also a Goodwood racetrack near here, and I can hear cars racing around it in the background. Closer to me, the grass is a rustling in the breeze. It's so quiet, I can hardly hear it. Also some rustling from a big tree I'm standing next to that I cannot identify. I know I've looked at this tree on my plant identification app loads of times and I still can't remember what it is. But it's very pretty. It's got a white, a sort of very pale greeny white under leaf, and then the top of the leaf is green. I'll find out the name. Now we've got a little airplane going overhead. Again, from Goodwood, you can do kind of ride in, you know, there's little, I don't know if they're called biplanes, small planes anyway. So I guess what I'm saying is when you're walking, when you go for a walk, you don't have to walk all the time. You might well want to rest because you're tired, or maybe it's hot and you just want to sit in the shade, or maybe there's no reason at all. Maybe you just want to sit down, and I would encourage you to sit down, whether it's a choice or whether it's because you need to rest. When you're sitting down, you can use it as an opportunity to really listen, to really tune in to the sounds around you that for most of the time we're totally oblivious of. We don't really listen to them. And what I find, and hopefully you'll find this too, is that when you tune into these sounds, as you sit still and you listen, you just listen, it's like these sounds suddenly appear, and there's layers of sound. There's sounds that are obviously quiet and soft, sharp and smooth, far off, distant and close. There's a whole kind of 3D spectrum of sound, and you're sitting right in the middle. And it's just a beautiful mindfulness game. It's very calming and joyful, I think, to appreciate and to notice the abundance of sound, the variety of sound. And often when I'm walking, I get this thought that just pops into my head, and the thought is, I'm so rich. And it's nothing to do with money, it's to do with the abundance in nature. You know, when you're out walking and you take the time to really look, or you just let nature seep in, sometimes it's not conscious, it just seeps in, and then suddenly you're like, wow, look at the shapes, look at the movement, look at the, hear the sounds, you know. And of course some of these sounds are man-made sounds that I'm listening to, but they're all part of the orchestra. So try that. Try sitting when you go on your walk, if you have the opportunity to. Don't feel when you go on your walk that you have to walk or you have to march. Sometimes that's fun to do that. Sometimes, especially if I'm tense, then I do set off on quite a march and it kind of gets it out of my system. But usually once that got that has got out of my system in 10 to 15 minutes, I start slowing down. I start slowing down to somehow a pace that is dictated by the natural environment. And for me, that pace is slow and relaxed. I don't really want to miss a thing. You know, I don't want to rush past this beauty.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Pauline has been talking about how walking in nature brings her escape, time to think, and the opportunity to find joy in the little things, like a bee buzzing around a flower. And that longing to step away from the weight of daily life is something so many of us feel right now. And maybe that's why walking holidays are experiencing such a surge in popularity. More and more people are trading screens and schedules for open skies and winding paths. National trails in the UK, like the Pennine Way and the Coast to Coast, are seeing record numbers. Over 80 million visits a year across England and Wales were recorded in 2023. And I think that's because walking offers so much more than exercise. It's freedom. It's wonder. It's an adventure waiting just beyond your doorstep. So I wasn't surprised when Pauline, Theo, her husband, and a circle of close friends set out to walk together along one of the UK's national trails, the South Downs Way. So let's find out how that story unfolds.
I know you've just completed or recently completed the South Downs Way.
We did.
How long is the South Downs Way?
100 miles.
100 miles. So, I mean, and anyone who doesn't know the South Downs Way, the South Downs is a very beautiful part of the of England, of southern England. But it's a pretty up and down path, isn't it? I mean, it's not mountainous. Okay, we're not talking mountains, but it's not walking alongside a canal. It's proper hills.
It is. And I guess the most famous part that a lot of people will have heard of is Beachy Head. Oh, my goodness. And that was the last bit, Beachy Head to Eastbourne, because obviously we did it in sections. We couldn't do it nonstop. So we knew it would take us a year to do it, and we had a little team of friends. So we split it up, basically. I got a guidebook, and it splits it up. So we did those. And, you know, it was like a military operation with lifts there and lifts to various places. But, yeah, we did it. But it was really that last section. I mean, that nearly killed us. It was so ridiculous, actually.
How do you manage with Theo doing what is a very steep and challenging walk? What are the logistics as far as Theo is concerned?
Well, luckily our friends do take it in turns to help with the pushing. But about partway through, we realised after watching one of our friends, they had a dog on a leash attached to a belt. And we're like, this is what we need for Theo. So we attached that to his, we've got an off-road buggy. So that means somebody could actually walk in front and give a little bit for hand that way by pulling him rather than just relying on somebody pushing him up the hill. And then that last section going towards Eastbourne, he was tethered on. I mean, looking back, people must have thought, what the hell are they actually doing? Because, you know, that path went right off the edge into the sea.
Yeah.
So he was tethered on there behind him to just make sure that.
So let me just get the scene clear in my head. So Theo is sitting in his off-road buggy.
Yeah.
And what does that look like? Does that look like a pushchair with big wheels?
So it's a three-wheeler. Yeah. So So if you look, you know, a sort of all-terrain just buggy for small children, it's just basically a big version of that. So him and the buggy weigh about 7 stone. So that gives you, you're either trying to push that up or you're trying to hang on to it from letting it run away in front of you. So, yeah.
Right. So
that
most
was the worst
hikers,
bit, actually.
Most hikers who, you know, you're going off your going off on your hike and you pack your backpack and you're like, oh, it's 8 kilograms or whatever. That's heavy. No, yeah. You have a seven stone buggy plus child. It's 7 stone altogether. Yeah. And you've got steep hills up and steep hills down. So therefore, you've got a lot to push when you're going up, but also you've got a lot to stop running away from you when you're going down.
Yeah.
So that sounds like a pretty tough challenge.
That was quite hairy. I mean, it was beautiful and I think he enjoyed it.
So let's just take a moment to step back and think about what we've learned from Pauline. For her, walking alone in nature isn't just exercise, it's escape. It's freedom, a magical time when she can put down all the responsibilities she carries and just be out there, surrounded by birdsong and sky. The natural world fills her with joy. It resets her, body, mind, and soul. And it matters to her so much that she'll even get up at 7 a.m. to make a shepherd's pie. And maybe the most beautiful part? Pauline doesn't keep this to herself. She shares it with Theo, her family, her friends. Together, they turn walking into little adventures, moments of connection and wonder that they'll carry with them for years. And I wonder, does that resonate with you? Because let's face it, life these days is a lot. Anxiety and depression are rising. More than 1 in 7 adults in the UK say their mental health is bad or even worse than ever. And we know those feelings aren't just in our heads. They ripple through our whole body. They can raise our risk of heart disease, high blood pressure, even shorten our lives. But here's the hopeful part. Research shows that something as simple as walking can make a real difference. Just heading out for a regular walk has been shown to lower stress, ease anxiety and depression, improve sleep, sharpen your mind, and protect your heart too. So when Pauline laces up her boots and heads out of the door, it doesn't seem like a luxury. It seems like a necessity. And maybe, just maybe, it could be the same for you.
When I go out at the weekends with Theo, I do try and do it so my husband can have some time. I know people go, oh, well, you do. And I do a lot, and I do the majority of the domestic stuff, and I go to work. So sometimes I do get a bit pissed off, Harriet, to be perfectly honest. But I have these little snippets through the week, and I am aware of that. And I'm lucky, I've got some really good friends who like walking.
Yeah.
So they come with me and it's a bit of social time and inevitably there is a coffee or something to eat as well.
Yeah.
So that's quite good. And but, I'm finding more that I want to be outside on my days off, not doing other domestic stuff.
I think there's 2 messages for me from what Pauline's said. One is that even someone who is so time pressured like Pauline is, you know, you can find the time, and Pauline does find the time. And the reason she does is that it's so refreshing. It actually supports her well-being, and enables her to then be the incredible mother and wife that she is. And also, I should say, Boogie Mites music leader.
I'm not sure about wife.
Okay, we'll gloss over that. But the other thing is that just to say that, you know, obviously I am able-bodied, and I, you know, anyone who follows my walks know that I sometimes do like massive kind of 15-mile walks and stuff. But being outside is for everybody. It really is. And so, you know, we don't want anyone to feel excluded, because nature is here, the planet is ours. And I just hope everyone listening knows that they can be out in nature and gain.
It doesn't matter where you are. As you said before, you can go to the park, or, you know, find somewhere, just even around the block, just looking at people's gardens.
Oh,
if you haven't
got
access to anything, that's
so
fine.
True.
And I think for me, I do tend to, when I've got Theo, I always walk with people. It can be, I'm a pretty confident and quite chatty person, but it is isolating.
Yes.
It really is.
Yes.
I mean, irrespective, a lot of people feel isolated at some stage in their life, don't they? So there are lots of walking groups. I've noticed on the Ramblers page, they've got cultural walks for people of different backgrounds and everything, which is fabulous, because statistically it's shown that certain demographics don't walk very much. So, you know, it's getting everyone out there.
This is so cool.
Talking. You better stop.
You can follow Pauline and Theo's adventures using that hashtag, There's More to Life Than Pavements. Check it out on Facebook.
I hope you've enjoyed hearing from Pauline, and hope it's really inspired you to think, you know, especially if you've been thinking, oh, I just can't do that walking thing for whatever reason. I hope this has inspired you just to look at it again, and maybe you can't do this walking thing, but maybe you can find a little park to sit in. You know, even just sitting and listening to the birds for 5 minutes, oh my gosh, or 10 minutes, it's so relaxing, it's so nourishing. So just have a little look about how you can walk in nature or be in nature. So thank you so much, Pauline.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, everybody. Bye.
Right, everyone, out for a walk.